Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. In his message titled, Love's Expectation, Reverend David Williams tells us that we will be challenged multiple times. During those moments, take Jesus' words and implement them. Love one another as yourself, and let everyone know that you are Christian. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Many things are asked of us. There are many challenges in life. One of the things we tend to assume when we hear Jesus say, what matters is that we love one another. It's so easy to assume that that is a simple request, that that is an easy thing. It's not an endless array of rules and regulations. It's just this one simple command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And as simple as it is also immensely challenging. It's something that requires sometimes more discipline, more focus, more energy, more grace than we can muster. And that is that's a strange paradox, this simple commandment, love one another, can be so hard. Each of us know in our own lives how that has been hard. As we have struggled with co-workers, as we wrestle with relationships, as we look to people in the world who we'd really rather hate than love, we are nonetheless called to love all of our neighbors as ourselves. Let's now admit how much of a struggle this is. Through the prayer of confession, which we will repeat together in the words of Howard Thurman, please join with me in praying this prayer. I want to be more loving in my heart. It is often easy to have the idea in mind, the plan to be more loving, to see it with my mind and give assent to the thought of being loving. This is crystal clear, but I want to be more loving in my heart. I must feel like loving. I must ease the tension in my heart that ejects the sharp barb, the stinging word. I want to be more loving in my heart, that with unconscious awareness and deliberate intent, I shall be a kind, gracious human being. Thus, those who walk the way with me may find it easier to love, to be gracious because of the love of God, which is increasingly expressed in my living. I want to be more loving in my heart. Hear now the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. May the God of all mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from Luke's Gospel. I'll be reading Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. You can follow along on page 64 of your pew New Testament. Let's listen again for God's Word. Jesus says, but I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations and the hearts and the minds and of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer, amen. There's just such a peculiar paradox in the passage this morning, one that doesn't get any easier every time I encounter these words of Jesus. It's the love thing. It's just not quite what we make it out to be. Because what we often think when we think shallowly about love is that it's easy, is that it's kind of squishy, you know, like someone who, you know, love, it's like, oh, just love. Love is so easy. I think I grew up that way, sort of associating the love ethic with a lack of discipline. This is because I was right as a kid, right at the very tail end of hippies. Yeah, I mean, if you're old enough, you remember these people, you know, the naive younglings who sprang from the loins of the greatest generation, and they were young and excited, and all they needed was love. Love was all they needed. Well, that and a VW bus in which to live. It was a very straightforward era. You were just doing your own thing in your own time, man. As Peter Fonda mumbled to Jack Nicholson around that campfire in Easy Rider, another classic. Classic film. Love just felt like it was just, you know, you just sort of went with the flow, and it was, you followed the dead around. I don't know. It was so simple. Love was always presented as such a simple, simple thing. Like, for example, the love that I would encounter in the evenings when I was a kid, and I had managed to watch, you know, I was given an hour of screens a day as a kid, an hour. And back in third grade, there was one screen in my house, just one. It was a 19-inch black and white Sylvania, old. And it was black and white, and there was no reason for it to be black and white, because it was the 70s. Everyone had colored TVs except for my parents, who did not see the need for useless fripperies like color. And I'd already have watched, you know, usually if it was evening, I'd already have watched my allotted hour,
half an hour for Ultraman, which I wouldn't miss. And of course, the other half hour would be for Adam West Batman rerun, because when I was in third grade, I thought that theme song was the best song in the world. I told my mother that once, and she laughed at me, which was the right answer. It was so lyrically complex, you know. I think that was the. But every once in a while, I would go beyond my allotted time on a screen. And there was one particular time when I did. There was, my parents were having a bunch of family in, and I forget what the event was, but the TV room was being used for some large thing. So they had to put it somewhere. And they put it in my room with strict instructions not to watch it. We're not plugging it in, we're just setting it here. So, of course, I did what you would plug it into volume down really, really low. You'd turn the knob, very carefully, so you don't make a lot of sound. And I would sit in the evening, and I would watch grown-up shows. And the grown-up show that I watched, that for some reason popped into my mind this last week, was The Love Boat. Anyone not know or ever seen The Love Boat as a show? It was this show that very much represented the 1970s, the era of wide lapels. And best I could tell, the point every week was they'd get some random agglomeration of 1970s stars of some point or another, and they would pile them all onto a cruise ship where they would be wrapped up in shipboard romances and family dramas. The stories were pretty much always exactly the same. You know, there'd be some necessary, the misunderstanding that would lead to reconciliation, or there'd be young love, or some lonely soul discovering another lonely soul, or perhaps the person that they had loved in high school and had lost, and they suddenly discover each other. And it would always resolve out on the promenade deck in the last 5 minutes of the show, with the moon glistening perfectly against a shimmering sea in the late last night. This was the easiest of shows. This was just spun cotton candy. And it went down smooth. It was just like, oh, that's so nice. It was light and frothy as the bubbles of a champagne toast. It was as warm as the wake of a ship in a Caribbean sea. And it just seemed so easy, so straightforward, light and effortless. And that sort of, you sort of get that into your head when you're a kid watching that sort of thing, and making sure that you turn the TV off before it drifted into Fantasy Island, which was much more confusing. Anyway, I was already supposed to be asleep. Love, so simple, so frothy. And yet here we have Jesus talking about love at the heart of Luke's gospel, and it feels neither easy nor simple. This is the farthest thing from froth and ease. It's the farthest thing from candy sweetness. What Jesus talks about when he talks about love is really, really difficult. It's one of the fiercest and most challenging passages we get, this section from Luke, which is part of what in Luke's gospel is called the Sermon on the Plain. It is the same set of teachings of Jesus that we get in Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5 through 7, but in a different format, in a slightly different way, and presented in a different location. I find it very reassuring that Jesus could recycle sermons. Every pastor finds that very heartening. What, you're allowed to do that? Thank you, Jesus. But here in this passage, Jesus lays out a vision of love that feels like a stretch. it feels like a challenge when he says, love, and challenges us to take that beyond the love that is simplest, the love for the easy, the love for those who love you back, the love for simplicity. It's not that. He is telling us here that the love that is expected of us is the farthest thing from, like, this is just free love, man. You know, it's nothing like that at all. A love for those who curse you. A love for those who abuse you. A love for all in the same way that God pours out love for all is an immense challenge. Maintaining that place of graciousness that can sustain us to where we can feel God's love for those that we consider most unlovable in the world is immensely difficult. And I think that's a reality that we would rather gloss over. We would rather assume that love just sort of flows easy and it's natural, and it's not. It's immensely complicated to love as Jesus asks, simple and complex at the same time. One of the best images I have for how challenging that is comes from the era of Howard Thurman. Our adult ed class is working our way through this mystic theologian of the civil rights movement. And one of the forming images of how challenging that is the amount of discipline it took people who were trying to gain their rights as persons in our society, how much discipline it took to be nonviolent. And if you've ever, I had posed this question to the class the week before I went on my cruise, but the question I posed was, do you know how civil rights folks prepared themselves to go out and be nonviolent? Has anyone ever seen either images or read about how they prepared? Because it wasn't just go out and just be loving, just be, you know, it's, you know, sure, there are dogs and there are hoses and you will be beaten and some of you will die, but just go out and be loving. It'll be straightforward. That's not how it was approached. The people who worked with Dr. King would train themselves, they would set out lunch counters and they would go and they would sit and they would practice being polite, being kind and respectful, but firm in their personhood. Like, I am a human being, you must respect who I am. And then they would have others, volunteers, come in to berate them, to scream obscenities at them, to dump, hopefully not too hot coffee, but to dump things on their hair, to get up in their faces, to try to stir a response. And they would train themselves to be gracious, to be kind, but to be firm, to be willing to offer up that other cheek. And it took practice. It's a very natural part of our identity. When faced with conflict, our response is not to love. Our response is to flee or to fight. It's a natural response. That's what they were trained not to do, because love, for all of its ease, for all of its simplicity, requires our intentionality. It requires us to practice it, to make it a discipline of life, to make it our response in one situation and then another situation, just as one practices anything of value. Love and the expectation that Jesus sets before us requires that discipline. That's part of why we gather here, to remind ourselves weekly of just how much effort this seemingly simple thing requires of us. It's part of why we try to bring that discipline into the world as we live it, day by day, encountering conflict and difference and challenge, and each one of those calling us not to judge, not to condemn, but to give grace in the measure that only comes when you have prepared yourself for it. Love is the simplest thing. And that's also one of the hardest. As we step out into our lives, hold fast to that, because it is the truth that Jesus brings us every time we make the mistake of stumbling across this difficult, necessary teaching. Let love be your guide, and let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Such a simple thing. And yet each of us, as we go out into that world filled with other souls this week, will find at least one moment, and probably more, where we will be challenged, where the teaching of Jesus that we are to love all, always with the fullness of God's love, will be pressed just a little bit. It could be at work, it could be at home, it could be at least three times on whatever your commute might be. But there is going to come a point this week where Jesus' words we heard today will become a test for us, where we will have to reach into ourselves and, through the grace of God's Spirit, manifest love to another person, to show grace, to show forgiveness, to show mercy. That will happen. And as you go out and are tested by that week, by that challenge this week, remember the songs and the message. And let that person know that you are Christian by the love that you show them. That is our challenge this week and always as we walk this path together. So now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us today and tomorrow and our whole lives long.